I'd like to call your attention this morning in the few minutes that we have remaining to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, we have been working through the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, and we're dealing with the subject of how God leads. And we dealt with, first of all, that God leads oftentimes through disagreements among good people. And we saw how that God created two mission teams to carry forth the gospel as a result of a disagreement between the two. And God used them both. Secondly, we learn that God often leads through discipleship, that God uses other people to give us understanding and discernment and to give us some forms of direction. In the case we find in the first three verses of Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul led Timothy to be circumcised. And we talked about the fact that Christian liberty is always tempered by what God needs. It's always tempered by, you know, the gospel. There are many times that we have to set aside our personal liberty in order to carry forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this case, Timothy willingly was circumcised that he might have a ministry not only with the Gentile, but also with the Jews. And it was the discipleship of Paul in his life that led him to come to that understanding. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that serves in a Jewish community has to do that, but what it does say is that Christian liberty does have its limitations within the life of the believer so that we can be all things to all men. Sometimes we have to set aside our personal liberty in order to be a blessing and a help. And then today we're going to be looking at that God often leads through the Holy Spirit's direction. The Holy Spirit's direction. In Acts chapter 16, we're going to look beginning at verse 4 as we introduce this little short paragraph and then move into verse 6 where our theme is going to be today. That one of the things that the apostles did when they arrived there in Derbe and Lystra was to deliver the decrees from the meeting that took place in Acts chapter 15, the council at Jerusalem. It's interesting that the word that's translated decrees is the word dogmata. We get our word dogma from this particular word. And of course, dogma has to do with teaching. As a matter of fact, it's referred, verse 4, let's read that, and they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees or the dogma for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were in Jerusalem. And then notice the response when clarity was given, and so were the churches established in the faith. That is an important phrase, the faith. That is a reference to the body of truth and increased in number daily. There was great issues that were going on between those that said, as we learned back in verse 1 of chapter 15, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. And so legalism, which is the thing that we have to keep the law in order to be saved, was a major issue in these churches because the churches were founded near synagogues and some of the people were Jews who were listening. Some of them were coming to faith in Christ. Others were challenging them and said, no, you're not being saved right. You got to keep the law. You got to be circumcised. You have to do all these things in order to be saved. And so they came back, the apostles came back to Jerusalem, had this great council. Peter, Paul, James, all of them spoke. Paul gave his testimony of what God was doing. Peter speaks up and says, listen, to require them to follow the law is more than what we're even doing as Jews. We're not keeping the law. And so as a result, they sent three challenges for the Gentiles that they would not eat meat that had the blood in it, that they would not eat meat that was offered to idols, and that they would follow certain things. We learned about that in verse 15. of the three conditions that were placed upon them, not because they wanted to restrict their Christian liberty, but because they wanted to be a testimony to the Jews. They wanted to further the gospel to the Jewish element that was there, and they didn't want anything to come in between them, their personal life, and the witness of the gospel. Oh, that's so important, folks. We've seen this emphasized twice now in our study of this. We do not want to stand between someone coming to Christ because we're all about us and our Christian liberty. We need to be willing to say, I'll be willing to set that aside because I want to give the gospel to them. I don't want there to be anything between me and someone coming to faith in Jesus Christ. I'm sure Belinda has had to face that many, many times over the years, serving in a foreign country with all these different customs and things. And we as Americans come in, and we're not used to their customs, they're not used to us. What do we have to do? She had to give up McDonald's hamburgers. We could go down a long list of the things that you had to set aside in order to be a witness and testimony to people in a foreign land. And sometimes we have to do it in our own neighborhood, where we realize, I don't want my testimony to be such that pushes people away from Christ. I want to live in such a way that causes people to want to, my Savior. Amen? I want them to want my Savior, Jesus Christ. And if I'm living in such a way that pushes people away, something is wrong. And so, they put that out there and they deliver them in chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. They deliver the dogma. And they put it into practice. And what happens in verse 5? Notice this, please. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. God was able to use it because clarity was brought about this situation. Do we have to keep the law in order to be saved? No. Christ kept the law. And we have His righteousness. And so we receive the free gift of His righteousness. And that's put to my account. What a glorious testimony. But this was the early battles in the church. And especially on this second missionary trip, as they now go with this clarity, people were able to understand more clearly, and God worked in hearts, and the churches began to grow because people believed the truth concerning Jesus Christ. Verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go unto Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now get this. It wasn't that the gospel was not needed in Asia. It was not that the gospel was not needed in Bithynia. As a matter of fact, we're going to learn in 1 Peter chapter 1, in that first chapter, that the very regions that the Spirit forbade Paul and his group to go into would have the gospel preached to them, and Peter would make reference to them, having had the gospel preached in those areas. It wasn't that they didn't need the gospel, but in God's purposes and plan, He wanted Paul and his group in Macedonia. And how were they led, folks? They were led by the work of the Holy Spirit of God. What's interesting to me is you see all the directions of the compass mentioned here. Paul and his group left Jerusalem and they went up north, and then they made their way across to Cilicia. The mission team was busy. They're moving from the east and making their way north and then eventually making their way west. They sought to go south into Asia. Holy Spirit said no. Then they sought to go north into Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit said no. There's only one direction left. And they started to move what direction? West. They went west, and God clearly showed Paul in a vision of where in the west they were to go. I have spoken many, many times with people that have given testimony of how God has led in their lives. How God put the brakes on going in this direction and said, let's go in this direction. How a desire within the heart to go to do something like preach the gospel in Asia or Bithynia was changed to another place. The testimony of Dr. Johnson, Gerald Johnson, who right after World War II heard the cry from Douglas MacArthur, we need missionaries in Japan. We need the gospel preached here. And he and his wife Miriam said, let's go to Japan. But they were only there for 8 years. And God began to close doors. And Gerald Johnson in his biography said, we didn't know what was going on. What is God doing? God closed the door in Japan and opened another door. And that was in South Korea. And the Lord led them from Japan to South Korea, and there they served for the rest of their lives. He often said it was clear direction from the Holy Spirit that led us to a place we really didn't want to go to. That's a testimony that I've heard many, many times as well. God put us in a place we really didn't want to go. We felt God wanted us in Japan, Gerald said. He had uniquely prepared us for Japan, and yet God closed that door and sent us into South Korea, totally unfamiliar with the culture, unfamiliar with the language. And yet, within just a matter of 2 years, they were both able to speak fluently the Korean language and to be able to do a ministry of Christian education, planting a church, also planting a seminary there to train Korean men to carry the gospel to their own people. Their ministry, by the way, continues to this very hour. Their correspondence ministry that they set up while they were in Korea continues now, and they have thousands of people that are learning the Word of God because Gerald and Miriam Johnson were sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in their heart and life. Sometimes our desires may go contrary. Notice the language that's used here concerning how the Spirit did His work. Let's go back. Verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were, what's that next word please? Forbidden. How many of you think that's a pretty strong word? Yeah. Wow. Forbidden? Yes. Kalathentes is the word. It means to withhold, to push back. That's the word that's used here. They desired to go into that region, and the Holy Spirit pushed back and said, no, I don't want you to go there. Can God do that? Yes. In this ministry here, our founding pastor, he wanted to be an evangelist. He set up meetings in his junior and senior years, traveling up in West Virginia, Virginia. He had all kinds of meetings set up, and he believed that God wanted him in evangelism. But God started closing doors. Invites stopped. And God put him down here in Baghdad, Florida to start with, and then Milton, Florida. Dr. Hobbs many times through the years said, evangelism was my heartbeat. That's what I wanted to do. And God had something else for him to do, not only to be involved in pastoring a church, but starting a Christian school and helping to start, from my count, over a dozen Christian schools. Dr. and Mrs. Hobbs were involved in directly. One in West Virginia, in a ministry that he had visited as an evangelist, the pastor and the wife felt like, we need to start a Christian school. Who can we call upon? And because of that connection through his preaching in the past, let's call Dayton Hobbs. That was Jim Fuller and his wife, who are over here. They're both in their 80s over at Victory Baptist Church. They've been involved in Bible printing all these years. They were the couple that invited the Hobbs to come. Would you help us start a Christian school in West Virginia? You see how God works? Sometimes He forbids. He withholds. He says, you're not going to go this way. And then they turned around. They were going to go south. They were forbidden of the Holy Spirit. Notice the language of this next one here that we read. Verse 7. After they had come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia. That's north. But the Spirit, what's those next words? Suffered them not. Once again, the Spirit of God says, no. No. Can God do that, Christian? Yes. And it takes a sensitivity to His work. By the way, He has gifted every believer with the presence of whom within the life? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the person of God within every believer that gives us understanding and light and direction. We have to be sensitive to His work and His leadership. I'll tell a brief story in my own life. When I left Bob Jones University on January the 17th, 1987, I'd finished my degree, and I already had an appointment in Atlanta, Georgia. A pastor there had called Dr. Gustafson and said, we need a music director. Do you know anybody? So Dr. Gustafson came to me, and he said, Todd, would you be willing to go candidate in a church in Atlanta, Georgia, near Buford, Buford Baptist Church? And I said, yes, sir, I don't have anything right now. So I called the pastor and I set up the time, and I didn't know what God wanted me to do. I just said, Lord, wherever you want me to be, I'll go. So we had set it up. I drove home from Bob Jones University. I arrived on a Sunday. Kristen and I drove back together. We tag teamed with her little car. She had a little rabbit at the time and it was giving her fits. And so we had to drive slow to get all the way back to Milton. I got back late that Sunday night, and my dad came up to me and said, Todd, would you call Dr. Hobbs? I said, boy, it's really late right now. You think he's going to be up? You know, he hits the hay pretty early. And he said, no, you call anyway. So I called Dr. Hobbs, and he said, Todd, I need you in the classroom tomorrow. Can you do it? We have had a teacher that stepped down, and I need you. And I said, well, what am I going to be teaching? It was a full day. And I said, all right, I will do that. I just want you to know I'm supposed to candidate at a church this week on Wednesday night. I'm supposed to be there for a couple of days to meet with the deacon board and so forth like that. He said, we'll work it out. But what I didn't know is that God was going to work it out. Because you know what happened after I hung up the phone? Within 30 minutes, I get a call from the pastor at Buford Baptist Church and said, Todd, you don't need to come. And I said, did you have a phone conversation with Dayton Hobbs, by any chance? Because they knew each other. He said, no, I haven't talked to Brother Dayton in a long time. You know what I knew? You know what I knew? I almost broke down right there at that spot. God wanted me here. He didn't want me in Atlanta, Georgia. I had put my name out through the university. Use my name. And if there's a church that needs an assistant pastor or pastor, I'm available to go. I never got another phone call. And I've been here all these years in the place where I grew up. Didn't expect to come back here and do that. You see, folks, we have to learn to trust God and to trust His leadership. Yeah, but I don't want to do that. Well, you have to stop what you want, and you have to start wanting what God wants. I imagine if I were to go around the room right now, some of you could say, Brother Brainerd, I can share a testimony like that in my life of how God worked from finding a mate for life to working out a situation that I thought was impossible. God just worked that out because I just turned it over to Him. You see, these men had prayed. You remember that? Back in chapter 15 in Jerusalem? They had prayed concerning this trip. And God was just leading. In one place, going south, nope, don't go any further. Well, let's go north. And by the way, this is interesting to me. Never are they criticized for going. They were directed by the Holy Spirit of where to go. But they were what? Going. They went north toward Bithynia, up in the northern part there. And the Holy Spirit suffered them not. No. Well, we came from the east. We can't go south. The Holy Spirit said no. And by the way, did they push their way against the Spirit? No. When they went north, did they push against the Spirit and said, yeah, but we really believe we need to be up there? No. They just did what the Spirit said. There's only one direction on the compass left, and that was west. And as they essayed to go, so, notice this in the text here, this verse of Scripture, verse 8. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Wow. Clarity is going to come from God. A vision of a man. Maybe this man was praying at that moment. And God said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do simulcast. Right? You ever had a simulcast? Something was going on, and yet the ladies got to do simulcast with Michelle a couple of weeks ago. They got to see what she was doing over on the other side of the world, and they got to see what y'all were doing. The only thing they couldn't do was share food. Now, that would have been messy, get that through the TV. But it was simulcast. And here's this Macedonian man praying to God that God would send them someone. And God simulcast that to Paul. And Paul got up and said, that's where God wants us to go. Let's go. And guess what direction that was in? It wasn't north. It wasn't south. It wasn't east. It was west. And they went. And what things they faced. Just because God moves you in a direction does not mean it's going to be happy, 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 happy all the time. Guess what they face? They get thrown in prison. They are beaten and put in shackles. And we find there that they're singing at midnight. No sleeping in that position. Arms and feet like that. They're singing to God, and God sends an earthquake. And they have an evangelistic meeting. And the jailer and his family get saved, and all of his servants get saved. What a glorious time that was. And not one of the prisoners escaped. You know what God had done? Because Paul submitted to the direction of the Holy Spirit, God was able to do miraculous things in his life. And people came to Christ as a result. Folks, God wants to do great things. But if you're just pushing, pushing, pushing against the Holy Spirit, you're not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'll tell God what I'm going to do. Oh, no. That's not how it works, Christian. It's saying, Lord, here am I. Can you finish it? Send me. Use me. Whatever it is. Lord, I trust you. Lord Jesus, I trust you. You saved me by your wonderful grace. And you transform my life. I trust you in the daily movement of my life and circumstances. Yeah, but you don't know all the things I have to go through. You don't understand. Look at Paul and Silas. When they got the simulcast from the Macedonian that was there, there was nothing about being put in prison when they got there. You think if they'd have had that, they would have gone? What's the thinker? I would think most of us said, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not going to go to prison. I'm not going to be beaten and thrown in prison. But that's exactly what God had in store for Paul and Silas. And he knew that before the simulcast vision of the Macedonian praying for someone to come and share the gospel. We're going to wrap this up. God leads through disagreements with good people. God leads through discipleship, working with other believers, and that sharing of the Word of God together brings about understanding and clarity about what we're supposed to do. And then we understand that God leads through the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, wait a minute, I haven't been stopped by the Holy Spirit lately. Let me tell you something. Just trust Him. And the stop signs will be just as clear as a bell, as well as the green lights. Do I hear an amen? The stoplight or the green light or the caution light. God has them all. He just wants you to trust Him and rely upon Him that He'll take you where you need to go. You see, God's bus lines never break down. They always take us where we're supposed to go. We just have to learn to rest in Him. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for this passage of Scripture. I thank You for the clarity that You gave to those servants of the Lord way back in the first century, showing them where to go with the gospel, stopping them from going south, stopping them from going north, but leading them to go west. And what a ministry they had, recorded in chapter 16 through chapter 18, verse 23, the second missionary journey and the marvelous things that were accomplished. Oh, it was tough. A lot of challenges, a lot of difficulties as a result. But they just trusted in the Lord. Help us, dear Father, to trust You, to rest in You, and to depend upon You, and set aside all of our desires. Oh Lord, these people didn't stop. They just kept going. And You gave clarity about where to go. Help us not to quit. Help us not to get a spiritual Airbnb and just hang out waiting. Help us to be busy doing what we're supposed to do, being moms and dads, and in the position and place You put us in this world, be faithful in doing that, but also trusting You to lead and guide in our daily lives. We thank You for this testimony that's included in Acts chapter 16, and I pray that You'd work in our hearts and lives in such a powerful way that we can clearly see Your direction, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Those are number 550. Number 550, this good course, I'll live for Jesus day after day. The Holy Spirit I will obey. 550, let's stand together and sing that first verse. Father, thank You for the message this morning and for these series through this little passage here. And I ask, Father, that You would help us to continue to trust in You for Your guidance in our lives. Thank You for all that have gathered here. Bless each family. We look forward to being back tonight to hear from Ms. Richter. Just ask that You bless this time in Christ's name. Amen.